Thank you, worship team. You may be seated, but before you do, there's not very many people here, but take a moment, walk maybe a couple extra steps, wave to someone from afar, and just, you know, kind of introduce yourself if there's someone that you don't recognize. Welcome to church, everybody. Again, if you weren't here when I said it, we are a smaller crowd today. This is what I like to call affectionately a family Sunday. Because it is a little bit more, a little bit smaller. You can all see each other. There's no crowd to get lost into. And that is because the majority of our church family is actually in Abbotsford right now participating in the summer getaway. So this is what you get for not signing up. You're here and I'm looking right at you because you're not lost in a crowd. So maybe next year you will sign up. Who knows? But we are so glad that you're here. My name is Elise. I am one of the pastors here. I'm actually on maternity leave right now, but I am thrilled to be here to share this morning because most of our other pastors, excluding Pastor Paul and Agnes, they're up at the retreat. And I have to say, Pastor Paul is a rock star. This is the second time that it's been the Pastor Paul and Elise show because Vincent and Andy are off doing whatever. We can do whatever we want. We won't, though, because Paul will keep me in line. We are just so glad that you're here. If you did not get them, there are sermon notes. If you are new, we would love to get to know you in the service as well, but you can find some more information about our church and the things that are going on from your sermon notes. Okay, so today we are going to be talking about facing challenges. Andy gave me a little bit of free rein to say, okay, talk about whatever you want to talk about, which is actually not what I like. I like when someone tells me what they want us to preach about, what to share about, because there's a lot of things you could share about and a lot of things you could talk about. But as we wrapped up our Spirit-led series last week, where Andy talked about unity in the Spirit, and we talked about all of the things over the last couple weeks, all of the blessings that we enjoy from being Spirit-empowered people, being a Spirit-empowered church, I thought that it would be a great opportunity to talk about what it feels like when we are facing challenges. Because, see, sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we feel excited. We do, and we should. We feel empowered. We feel bold. We feel like anything is possible. And that is true. There are so many things that God can do because of the Holy Spirit in us. We should be excited at the possibilities of what God can do in and through us. But there can also be a little bit of nervousness, maybe a little bit of intimidation. Because in order to see God do something new, oftentimes it means doing something different. It often means being prepared for change, being prepared for things to shift a little bit, and that can make a lot of us nervous, some of us more than others. Is anyone here really big into surprises? Anyone kind of thrive in that environment? Yeah? Ruben, did you raise your hand? No, you're just scratching your face. Okay. I am not a big surprise person, believe it or not. I am not big on unexpected surprises. I like good surprises. Surprise parties, great. But even still, there's a little part of me that just doesn't really like anything kind of jumping out at me or surprising me unexpectedly. This can be a challenge when people are really into scary movies. I cannot watch scary movies. Any kind of scary movies is a big no-no for me. And even when sometimes there's a little bit too much suspense in a movie, like, you know, there's the music is building, maybe it's an action movie and you're kind of waiting for a villain to jump out from around a corner, I actually have to cover my ears and close my eyes. And if my husband is there, I might bury my face in his shoulder because I really can't handle that kind of anticipation. I really can't. It is so bad that sometimes if we are watching a show and there's a cliffhanger, I go onto Wikipedia or IMDb and I read the summary of what's going to happen next so that I can be emotionally prepared for it. But I promise that I'm actually a fun person to watch movies and shows with. I promise. Honestly, and I think that it's because there's this very real part of me that is very uncomfortable with the unexpected. I am very uncomfortable with the idea that something could come out of nowhere and catch me off guard or surprise me, and I won't be prepared for it. Now, the problem with that isn't reality, right? The reality is that we can't prevent unexpected surprises from coming at us. We can't prevent things that we didn't expect from catching us off guard. We can't control the decisions that our family makes. We can't control the actions of the people around us. We can't control the decisions that our leaders make sometimes. We can't even control the weather. The reality is there is so much outside of our control that we will all of us at some point in our lives, on big and small levels, we will all have to deal with unexpected challenges. Even as people who are led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and know the love of Jesus, we can know that God is with us and still feel overwhelmed or intimidated about the challenges that we're facing. But thankfully, there are many examples in the Bible that show us what we can do when we are facing unexpected challenges. And our passage today is one of them. We're going to be looking at the book of Joshua. And some of you might know the story of Joshua already. The story of Joshua is that Joshua is a leader who took over the leadership of the group of Israelite people after they had left Egypt. And they had been wandering the wilderness for 40 years. And they're finally at the very edge of the land that God is telling them they are going to call home. They're standing at the edge of the city of Jericho, and this is the land. God says, this will be your home. The problem is, they're standing there, and they're facing a gigantic rock wall. They are facing a hostile city, an army that is much bigger and much stronger than them. They are facing an unexpected challenge. They're facing their biggest challenge yet before they are able to step into what God has promised them. And what we see in their story is how God leads us to face our challenges with confidence so that we can see God's capacity to overcome our challenges. So let's take a look at the passage. How can we face challenges with confidence? If you turn with me to Joshua chapter 6, we're going to read the first 5 verses, and they say this. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men, and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Now, there's a lot we could unpack here, but we're going to talk kind of about the general story instead of focusing on all the really small details. The first thing that we see from this passage, the first way that we can face challenges with confidence, is by remembering that challenge is a result of calling. What do we mean by that? Challenge is a result of calling. When God calls us, we have to know that we are going to have challenges. In fact, we should expect them. Now, let's think again about the story of Joshua and his people. For Joshua, this is a moment 40 years in the making. 40 years in the making, these people have wandered. This story of how God had led the Israelites through the water and through the wilderness has gone through generations and generations. And they know that they're standing on the edge of the promise, what God had promised their great-grandfathers. They know this. They're standing there. And yet they're standing there with gates shut and walls high against them. Now, you have to wonder, if this is a moment 40 years in the making, why would God promise them something so amazing and then put them in the position where they have to fight and struggle in order to get in? Why would God do that? Why would God promise and then put them in a position where they have to fight and struggle? A few years ago, there were a group of scientists that conducted an experiment. It was called the Biosphere 2 experiment. Has anyone heard of that? Maybe not. The Biosphere 2 experiment was a You can actually still go there and visit it. It was a gigantic dome, a gigantic building, where scientists created these perfect environments for life to grow in. So perfect environments for trees and flowers and fauna and all sorts of things to grow in, and in order to study the way that, you know, these organisms would grow and study the way that they would grow without kind of the interference of other things, without the interference of other factors. And one of the biggest discoveries that they made through this experiment was actually to do with the trees. See, in these perfect environments, the trees that grew in the dome would grow really fast, and they grew really tall. They were magnificent. But they actually fell over, all of them, before they could reach maturity. Now, why is that? Why did they fall over before they could reach full maturity? It's because the domes kept out a crucial missing component of a tree's growth. It kept out the wind. The wind was not able to get at the trees. And what is interesting is with trees, the trees need wind in order to develop something called stress wood. And what that is the wind forces the trees to grow wood, bark that is resistant to the elements around it. Without the wind, the trees could not develop the kind of wood that would give them resistance to wear and tear, the kind of wood that helped it to stay strong even under its own weight. The roots would not go as deep. The trees were not strong enough in order to carry their own weight, and that's why they fell over. This stress wood, the stress that was caused by the wind, is what the trees needed in order to thrive in the long run. And you and I are the same way. I hate to break it to all of us, but we need stress. We do. We need stress. We need stress in order to thrive in the long run. We need challenges in order to develop the muscles that grow only because of tension and only because of stress. We need stress, you and I. We need to be able to thrive in the long run. And so when we're facing challenges, sometimes it can cause us to doubt. Sometimes it can cause us to doubt whether or not we're on the right track, whether or not we're going in the right direction, whether or not we are actually following the calling of God. But if stress is actually what's needed in order to help us grow and thrive in the long run, then maybe challenges, maybe stress actually isn't the indication that we are not where we are supposed to be. Maybe stress and challenges is actually the indication that we are exactly where we are supposed to be. Maybe it's a sign that we are going in the direction that God actually wants us to go in. Challenges that push us to grow are a sign that we are heading in the right direction. And we will never be in a position where God calls us to something and there is no friction and there is no stress and there is no tension. So be encouraged. If you feel like you're trying to do what God has asked you to do, stress does not mean that you've done the wrong thing. Stress can actually mean that you're exactly where you need to be in order for God to help you thrive in the long run. The second way that we can face challenges with confidence is by being led to obedience. Now, when we read our passage, we see that God talks about the victory like it is a done deal, right? God talks about this victory by saying, I'm giving the city to you. I am going to give it to you. The victory's already won, right? But he also gives them instructions. And so what this tells us is that the people are not meant to just sit around. They're not meant to just sit around and watch God do this without taking any action of their own. They're given instructions to act. They're given instructions which, if they follow, are going to lead to their victory. And what this tells us, what this is a reminder of us, reminder is for us really, is that our confidence is in God is often shown in our obedience to God. I have a hairdresser who has been my hairdresser for probably close to, 6 years now. And she was actually my high school classmate. We've known each other a really long time. She has taken me from blonde to and back She has dyed my hair purple. She has given me bangs. She has helped me grow my bangs out when I realized I don't look good in bangs. She has helped me. She has guided me through all those hair changes. And there have been times where I have said, I really want to do this. The biggest example is when I said I wanted to dye my hair like a beautiful silver gray, because my favorite K-pop artist had a beautiful silver gray. And she was like, I told her this. I said, can you dye my hair like silver, gray, whatever? And she was like, no, I am not dyeing your hair silver. I am not dyeing it gray. It's going to take forever. Your hair's going to fall out, blah, 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 blah. And she just flat out refused to do it. And when she said it, immediately I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. I will do what you say, even though it's kind of not what I want. I will do what you say because I trust you. Because I trust her expertise. I trust the fact that she knows what she's doing, that she's been in the hair game for a really long time. I will trust that she knows what she's talking about, and I will follow her instructions because I trust her. And all of us in this room probably have people like that, don't we? We have a friend or a spouse or a mentor where if they say something to us, we might go, yeah, I didn't see that, or maybe I don't fully agree, but you're probably right. Maybe there's a coach or a teacher that's told you, given you advice, and you're kind of like, I don't know about that, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to try it. Why do we follow? Why do we follow those instructions from those people that we trust? Because we trust them. Because we trust that they know what they're talking about. Because we trust that they know better than we do. And so when God gives us instructions to follow, when God gives us gives us something to do, something to act on, we have our confidence in him is reflected in our obedience, because our obedience shows that we're actually confident that God knows what he's talking about. We're confident that God knows what he's talking about when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our integrity and our character. We trust that God actually knows exactly what he's talking about in order for us to do the best that we can in life and to be who we are called and meant to be. Our obedience is a reflection of our confidence in God. When we're confident in God, we cooperate with God. And we trust that he's going to follow through. So what happens when we face challenges with confidence? What happens when we actually, you know, expect challenges and then follow through with what God asks us to do? Later on in the New Testament, the story of the Israelites and the story of Jericho is actually highlighted in the book of the Bible called Hebrews. And it's interesting because this story is actually becomes an example of faith for the early Christians and the early believers who are going through really hard times. And this is what the verse says. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. They obeyed. They trusted. And the walls of Jericho fell down. When we face challenges with confidence, we see God break down our obstacles. We see God break down what needs to be broken down. The walls of Jericho fell down so that God could lead Joshua and the Israelites into what he had promised. And this is kind of an important reminder for us that sometimes in order to build something new, God actually has to tear something down. Sometimes God has to tear the old down so that something new can take its place. And for us, what this can mean is that God, in order for us to see where God is leading us to be the people that God's called us to be, this can mean that there are some old habits or old patterns that need to be broken down. This can mean that there are ways of unhealthy thinking that God needs to break down in us before we can have a renewed mind. This can mean that God has to break down toxic relationships or unhealthy conflict in order for healthy community to take its place. You can't just grow something over dead plants. You have to tear out the dead plants in order to replace it with something new and living and thriving. Now, for some of us, that might mean that we need to seek help with this. This might mean that we need to go and find a counselor or a mentor that we trust. This could mean that we need to confide in a leader or a friend for help. But if there's something that you're struggling with, if there's something, if you keep asking yourself, why can't I see God change this? Why can't I see God bring renewal or redemption to this part of my life? There's a very real possibility that there's something there that God needs to root out or break down before you can start to see life there. The beautiful part is that we don't do that alone. If we do what God asks, then God can handle what we can't. And this gives us hope. There is nothing too big for God to handle. There is nothing too dark in your life, no skeleton in your closet that is in too deep that God cannot handle for you. Have hope. There is nothing that God can't overcome for you. When this happens, when we face challenges with confidence, when God breaks down our obstacles, that's when we see God build us up through our consistency. I love that the verse mentions that the army did follow through and marched for 7 days. Now you have to ask the question, why wouldn't God just say, hey, march once, or march 7 times one day even, right? You have to ask yourself, why? Why the repetition? Why do they have to go again and again and again? I think it's actually a reminder for us that as with all things, consistency counts. Consistency counts. One of my first jobs after college was as a barista. And, you know, the first couple months, I would watch all my coworkers make beautiful latte art. They knew exactly how to steam the milk. They knew exactly how to pour it. And they would create beautiful latte art, swans and flowers and hearts and all this amazing stuff. And I was so impressed. Honestly, I still am, because it's not easy. But within a few months after I started, I started to recognize how they were doing it. They taught me how to do it. They taught me how to tip the cup. They taught me what temperature to steam it to. They taught me the consistency and the way to tip the cup to pour. And they taught me all these things. And before I knew it, I actually started creating latte art that I was impressed by. And I would take a million pictures of it because I was so impressed with myself. But I would start creating it. And before long, the more I did it, I could just do it without even thinking about it. I didn't have to think, what angle am I tipping the cup in? I didn't have to think, well, what temperature am I supposed to bring this to? I could pay no attention at all, and I could just do it. It was like muscle memory. But that's because it was a skill that was built through consistency, through consistent practice. Consistency counts. It's the repetition of faithfulness that develops the habit of faithfulness. It is the repetition of choosing every day to spend 5 minutes reading your Bible that turns you into a person that knows their Bible. It's the repetition of choosing to pray 5 minutes a day, 2 minutes a day, that leads you to be a person who is in constant communication with God. It becomes a habit. It is the repetition of choosing your words carefully, choosing to speak words of life rather than words of conflict or death that leads you to be a person who is known as somebody who is slow to speak and quick to listen, like James says. It is the repetition of choosing consciously to look at the people that make you angry, that have hurt you, that have done that, that the people that you can't stand the most, choosing to look at them with empathy, choosing to think the best of them and giving them the benefit of the doubt, that turns you into a person that is able to love your enemies the way that Jesus said. The repetition of faithfulness is what develops the habit of faithfulness. When we practice faithful living consistently, it leads us to become faithful people that can stand up under the pressure of unexpected challenges. Let me conclude with this thought today. Some of you in this room might know this, but I am a parent. I'm a parent to 3 wonderful kids, 13, 2.5, and 8 months old. And when I became a parent, I approached it the same way I approach everything in life, as an overachiever, which meant that I started listening to podcasts and reading books and trying to take in all this advice about how I could do my best job as a parent. And one of the biggest lessons that I learned through all of this is the need for kids to have something called time under tension. Time under tension. And what that means is it's important for children and for adults, really, to have age-appropriate, to experience age-appropriate difficulties, to be frustrated, to be bored, to be lonely, and to find ways to overcome it. That's kind of what I was talking about with the stress piece. I find myself often keeping myself, trying to stop myself from protecting my children too much. I want to try them. I find that my instinct is to try to keep them from getting upset, from getting frustrated or getting bored or lonely. I want to make sure that that all that they experience in life is joy and excitement and laughter and fun. That's what I want for them. But I have to actively hold myself back from protecting them from every single frustration, every single adversity. I have to learn to give them a chance to try something and be bad at it at first, because if I shield them from all of those things, if I shield them from every challenge or every problem or every struggle that comes their way, it actually does the opposite of what I'm trying to achieve. Shielding them from all these things actually, in the long term, creates anxiety. It creates insecurity. It creates worry. It creates all of the things that I'm trying to protect them from. Because in other words, it creates a lack of confidence to handle challenges. Why is that? Because only by handling difficulty do you actually realize that you can handle difficulty. Only by overcoming a small problem do you learn that you actually have the capacity to overcome the next one that comes your way. You can't develop that confidence if you never meet the challenge. The best thing that you can do is to let kids experience tension and walk with them through it. Wanda and Marty, would you mind coming back up? The reason that I bring this up, the reason that I'm talking about time under tension, is because of this. Some of us in this room need to hear this today. You are not experiencing challenges because God doesn't care about you. You are not facing what you are facing because He has forgotten about you. You are not experiencing what you are experiencing because God is indifferent or unfeeling towards you. The opposite is true. God cares about you more than you could know. He loves you more than anyone on this earth loves you, because He's a good Father and He cares about you. He lets you, He allows you to experience difficulty because He knows what it is meant to produce in you. He knows what it is meant to develop in you. He wants you to experience the joy of resilience, of being able to meet challenges and overcome them with His help. He wants you to experience the confidence that comes with meeting a challenge and seeing God help you overcome it. He wants you to experience what it is to thrive in the long run, even if that means that you have to experience struggle and frustration in the short term. Facing challenges with confidence gets easier every time we choose to face them, trusting in God's capacity to meet them, rather than running away from challenge or avoiding discomfort. There are no shortcuts. There are no cheats in order to get to that point. So as we take a moment today to reflect, I want to ask you, what challenges can God meet with you today? What challenges are you facing that you need God to walk alongside you through? And maybe take a moment to ask yourself, if God helped me overcome this challenge, if God helped me overcome this frustration and this struggle, what would my life look like? And what could that mean for my life 10, 20, 30 years from now? What would it mean for my kids and my marriage and my family and my friends and my work? What would that mean? How could God help you thrive in the long term? God, we thank you so much for the fact that you help us overcome. God, we've talked about you overcoming. Yet not us, but Christ in us. We trust and we know, Lord, that what you are developing in us is greater than the challenge that we're facing. That, Lord, who you are to us, the Holy Spirit in us, is more powerful, more able, more competent than we could ever ask or imagine. We thank you, God, that in you we are more than conquerors, as your word says. And we thank you, Lord, that you are more than able to overcome the things that we are facing. God, I pray for us in this moment to imagine what it might be like if you broke down the walls in our lives. God, I pray that you would challenge us in this moment to have hope for the things that we've given up on. I pray, God, that you would encourage us in this moment to keep going when we're in the midst of the struggle, when it feels like we're in the darkest part of the valley. God, remind us to keep going. And Lord, above all else, may we not run from challenge, but may we learn to hold your hand tighter through it. May we learn to hold you closer, to lean into your presence rather than push you away, to find comfort and joy in the process of becoming who you call us to be, rather than trying to find a shortcut through the discomfort of life. We love you, we thank you, and I pray that you speak to us this morning. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to take a moment or two to offer prayer to anybody who might want prayer for a specific need. Pastor Paul and I will be up at the front to pray with you if there's something that you're facing that you need support with. Even if you don't, I encourage you, let's stand together, let's worship together.